Welcome to the HSP podcast. I'm Julie Bielan, the founder of Sensitive Empowerment, and today's episode is about dreams. Dreams are inner compass with Dr. Lourdes Viado, and what an amazing conversation we had today. We were recording live in my Sensitive Empowerment community, which is always a wonderful thing to get input and feedback and questions, but today was, really beautiful. Lourdes talked about four different types of dreams and how dreams are really organic and natural, and that they're sort of nature's efficiency and purpose, and to help us really understand ourselves on a deeper level, that there is really information in these dreams that we are having, and that it is powerful. It's a really powerful part of our growth to be able to understand our dreams and help to interpret them a little bit more. And I'm very excited to share this episode with you. We had such an amazing conversation talking about the energy of dreams, and really it's about bringing in the unconscious into consciousness. I think that's a very powerful thing to recognize about dreams. So I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. Love to hear from you. If you want to share comments on the hsppodcast.com, we'd love to hear comments about episodes. And I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the HSP Podcast. I'm Julie Bieland, and today's episode was recorded live in my Sensitive Empowerment community, and we would love to welcome you there. We do live weekly events, and it's such a great time to connect with each other, sensitive people from all over the world, and learn how to be empowered, how to take care of our sensitive nervous system. We have an amazing HSP library and invite you to join us. You can find all the resources that I offer HSPs on my website, juliebieland.com or sensitiveconnection.com, and that's where you can join the community as well. Hope to see you there. Enjoy this episode. I want to give you a quick update before we start this episode, and that is that I have some free masterclasses coming up that I'd love to invite you to. They're free to register. You'll also get a replay if you register. One is about high sensitivity and anxiety, and one is called Reach Financial Freedom, Growing a Heart-Centered Online Business, and that's for HSP practitioners, healers, therapists, coaches, etc., who want to learn how to grow multiple sources of income and just be in a place where you're free so that you can really do the work that you need to do as a healer and take time off to take care of your self-care and things like that. That's important for healers. And I'm going to be available to answer questions after these events. And you can find them, you can register free by going to my website, juliebieland.com or sensitiveconnection.com, and click on free resources. And there you will see where it says masterclasses, and you'll get a link to register free. If you can't find it for some reason, definitely just let me know. And yes, there is a replay if you register, and you'll get an email reminder and things like that as well. So look forward to seeing you there. Enjoy this event. Welcome, everyone. So happy that you're here with us. Today's topic is Dreams Are Inner Compass with Dr. Lourdes Viado. And this is going to be such a great topic. We're talking about why dreams matter, the different kinds of dreams, dream interpretation, dream retention. Dr. Lourdes Viado is a Jungian psychotherapist, integrating mindfulness, neuroscience, dreams, and astrology into her work with clients. And she's also the host of the Women in Depth podcast. And we were just talking before we started recording that it was exciting that to be with Lourdes again today, because I was actually on her podcast several times a few years ago. So to invite her onto the HSP podcast is just beautiful. I forgot to say I'm Julie Bieland. If anybody's new to learning about me, that's who I am. I'm the founder of Sensitive Empowerment. So Lourdes, so welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Julie, so much for having me. I am honored to be here and to talk about one of my favorite topics, an area that I think is so important, which is dreams.
Yes, I'm very excited about this topic. I'm always listening to what my sensitive empowerment community is asking for and talking about. And many people were talking about wanting an event about dreams. And when I learned that you talk about dreams, I was so excited because we just had such amazing conversations when I was on your podcast, and definitely encourage people to listen to those because I think we just had such great conversations. I love your voice too. It's like it's meant to be on a podcast.
Thank you. That's so funny. I'm just laughing because my son told me last night when I was putting him to bed. He goes, "Mommy, you should make meditations."
You have a good voice. Okay. Make us some sleep ones. That would be like, your voice is so soothing and just lovely. I can imagine like a drifting off into relaxation. I love it. And thanks, Sensitive Empowerment Community, for being live with us. We just love that you're joining us. And I'll be monitoring your questions and comments along the way. So Lourdes, tell me a little bit about, you know, how you got into dreams. And I know you're an HSP too, and I love having HSPs come on and talk and give us what I always see is a deeper perspective on things, because that's just who we are as HSPs. Yeah. So I love it. How did you even get interested in this?
Well, when I started my doctoral program in depth psychotherapy back in 2006, at Pacifica in Santa Barbara, the first course we had to take was a course in working with dreams. And so before we met for the first day of the semester, our professor asked us, because it was the first day of the fall, that over, the summer break to begin to start paying attention to our dreams and to start writing them down and to bring them with us on our first day. And when I showed up in class that first day, and we were put into small groups, and we began to work with our dreams, I was a little scared. It kind of threw me off a little bit about just what my dreams were possibly trying to tell me. And I was also in awe of my dreams, and I also felt like there was a numinous, otherworldly, something intangible about dreams that to me made them, there was like a sacred quality to them. And I began to take my dreams seriously. And that was kind of the beginning of really working with my dreams. And then I think what deepened it even more was when I began to work with my clients and their dreams. And that was just so powerful, how dreams really brought into focus exactly what was happening within my clients' inner lives and where we needed to focus the attention, and what this deep part of themselves, their wisest part, their intuition. I have a client who has said, this is okay for me to share. She has referred to the dream maker within her as the heart of me. Mm-hmm. And just really beautiful how this part of ourselves is trying to get our attention, is trying to let us know the direction, the way. And so that also has really been huge for me, just seeing the way dreams show up in the therapy space and what what they can do to help clients, to help myself know, you know, where do we go from here and what is seeking expression within me, and how am I to serve? You know, those are big questions, and dreams really help us to find our way back.
Wow, I love that. I wrote that down, what you just said, that it's what is seeking expression within me. I really love that. I found that to be true in my own dreams, this sense of, it's like when I'm dreaming about something, there's often this letting myself explore it. Actually, there's two different ways I've experienced dreams in some form, and it's different now than it used to be. It's like when I used to be in a life that was not mine, and many people have heard me talk about it on the podcast, but just being in a really difficult time of life, that I remember that my dreams became my something that saved me in a way. I remember intentionally going into particular dreams because it was like I got to be myself in these dreams because I didn't know how to be in my real life. And it was so powerful. Like I would intentionally go into these dreams and I was almost like having this whole other experience in my dreams, and I loved it. And now I see my dreams, and now that I've sort of transformed into living my authentic life and being myself in the world, my dreams mean something else now. They're information. And that's why I really like that you shared it like that.
There's a quote by Jung. It's one of my favorites. Well, there's two of them. One is, dreams are the guiding words of the soul. And the other, the dream shows the inner truth and reality of the client as it really is, not as I conjecture it to be and not as he would like it to be, but as it is. And I just feel like when we struggle so much with, you know, uncertainty, not knowing, not trusting ourselves, dreams anchor us and help us to know the direction, even though it may not be clear to us or it may be frightening. Dreams are that North Star. They are, they're like that compass. There's another quote by Emily Dickinson: the sailor cannot see the north, but knows the needle can. And I think that that's what dreams do for us, is we may not be able to know our true north, but dreams point the way.
Oh my goodness, that's beautiful. I love that. You must be seeing a lot of shifts. I'm thinking, because I'm hearing about a lot of shifts in people's dreams right now, given everything that's going on in the world. Are you seeing that too?
Yes, I am. I am seeing that with my clients. And I think that, you know, when, you know, part of one way to understand the energy of dreams is to remember that their primary function is to make what is unconscious conscious and to express the unconscious. And in this time when there is so much being stirred up in our waking life, there's a pull within us to pull back into our inner world to do this rebalancing, to find this homeostasis of, with everything going on, where am I and how do I find my way back? And because of the circumstances we're all living through, these waters we're swimming in or trying to not drown in, it's very easy to lose that connection. And again, dreams anchor us back to our source.
That's wonderful. I love seeing it like that, this sense of sort of bringing us back into this rebalancing, bringing up the unconscious into consciousness. I love that. I know we've had some questions about dream interpretation and things like that. What is your general sort of advice about that to us?
As far as understanding the meaning of our dreams?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think the most important, I guess, principle when we're trying to understand our dreams is to remember that they should not be taken literally. They are symbols or I also like to integrate parts languaging into working with dreams, you know, and for those who aren't familiar with parts work or internal family systems or ego states, you know, this is a way of exploring ourselves in terms of, you know, the wounded part of me, the warrior inside of me, the mother inside of me. And again, these are words that are symbolic and metaphoric and not just meant to be taken literally. But you can use parts languaging to also explain, or to explore, I'm sorry, the images and dynamics of your dreams. So for example, if you are dreaming about a vehicle and you're in the vehicle as a passenger, you can explore that in terms of the dynamic of what is driving me right now, where I'm not at the wheel, but I'm along for the ride. So that's a way that you can explore that metaphorically, or what parts of me are not driving and what parts of me do need to be driving. So again, you can use parts work to explore that image. Also with dreams, your connections to the symbols of your dreams are very, very personal. And what I might connect with a house or a car would be completely different than what you would because of your life experience and who you are. And that's why I don't recommend using dream dictionaries. However, I do encourage using symbol dictionaries. So there's a really good one that I love. It's called The Book of Symbols. It's an absolutely beautiful book to actually look through. But for example, it will take the sun and it will talk about how over different times and different peoples all over the world, has the sun meant to them. And then it will include artwork and stories and all kinds of references to help your intuition and your unconscious begin to find the meaning of the sun for yourself. And so that's why it's so important to, even though you may want to share your dream with others and get to maybe have them help you with exploring the metaphors, it's ultimately up to you to determine what the dream maker is saying to you. A metaphor that one of my mentors, James Hollis, has used is that the dream is like a visitor knocking at your door. And, you know, when you decide to pay attention to your dreams, you are opening that door. And this visitor is really a part of yourself that you have forgotten, that you don't know. And we enter into dialogue with these parts of ourselves.
Oh, this is good. I love it. I'm taking so many notes as we're talking.
And I
want to bring in
Ashley's
question, because I think this could be really interesting to explore a little bit in terms of what you're talking about. So Ashley's talking about saying that she doesn't dream very much, but when she does have dreams, they're usually nightmares. And there's some kinds of possible symbolisms in here about, you know, something happening to, like, in the world or to a loved one. And what was interesting is, and when she was talking about it, she said specifically, "I'm powerless," and that she's been having these since she was a little girl. And what came up for me as you were talking and thinking about Ashley's question is about this, is that I bet that there is some symbolism in that feeling of powerlessness coming probably, you know, dating back into childhood, and that might be an interesting thing to explore, the underlying message of feeling powerless and how to get that power back and how to bring in empowerment. And I'm guessing that's a big reason for these dreams. What do you think?
Absolutely. Our dreams are calling attention to parts of ourselves that need attention, that they're letting us know, hey, you know, look here, or listen to this, or nurture this, or this needs healing. And nightmares are especially significant because there's a sense of terror and urgency and fear. They're very powerful, visceral experiences. And when this is happening, especially something that's recurrent, anything that's recurrent, your psyche. And when I talk about the psyche, I refer to, what I mean by that is your psychological body, you know, and psyche, the root word of psyche, is the soul. And so there is a very deep, deep part of you that is really wanting your attention. And dreams can be very terrifying and even ridiculous, or so off, far off field of perhaps where we would see ourselves or think would be happening to us. And it's important to remember that the dream maker does this to get our attention. And so there is a part of you that is really, really wanting you to pay attention, that really needs you to listen, that really wants to enter into relationship with you, conscious relationship with you. And again, dreams are the expression of the unconscious. Remember, I said that at the beginning, that the basic function of dreams is to express the unconscious, what we're not consciously aware of. These are blind spots. These are aspects of ourselves that have been put into another room, either consciously or unconsciously, psychologically speaking. And now these parts are needing attention. And so one of the ways that you could begin to make this unconscious aspect conscious is to explore the themes of powerlessness. Where have you felt powerless? Where are you powerless? Where are you perhaps not stepping into your power? And really exploring that word and languaging around that will help you to make this more conscious. And I want you to also know that this is a typical dream, and I'm not trying to minimize your dream, but nightmares of powerlessness, of literally being frozen or paralyzed and not being able to move or speak or scream or call for help, are very common. And I do see this also frequently with trauma. And often it can be looked at as your psyche letting you know that you're ready. You're ready to work with this trauma. You're ready to go deeper with this trauma. This trauma is ready to become more conscious. And often it can indicate that this is a invitation into a significant healing space, that the energy is there. And I've seen dreams like this happen with clients when we are really going into deep, deep trauma work.
Oh, this is really good, Lourdes. I think this is such an important thing, what you're talking about. And I think a lot of people are going to relate to it. And the concept of you're ready to work with this. I love it. And I think with trauma, and I'm sure that you agree with this probably, is that I believe that with trauma, it's a good idea to work with a professional.
Absolutely.
To be able to go down in there with you, right?
Yeah. And you can also look at it as, you know, perhaps, you know, if consciously you're thinking, I've already worked with this trauma, or I don't want to work on this trauma, or anything else. Because remember, our dreams aren't telling us anything we already know. It's the unconscious. So these are blind spots. These are different ways of looking at things. And so, you know, that might be the initial reaction. Like, I'm fine. I'm not, I don't need to deal with my trauma. I'm actually okay with what happened. I've done, you know, I'm at a good space. You might take it further and ask yourself, in what ways am I unknowingly re-traumatizing myself? In what ways, even though I'm not aware of it, is this loss of power playing itself out again and repeating itself? So again, it may be not as obvious as it's time to work on trauma. It may even be looking at more subtle patterns that are showing up that you're not really consciously aware of. And I'll use an example. I had a client who had worked through her trauma, had gone to therapy, very self-aware, very you know, a lot of initiative around looking for support, asking for help. And so this type of dream was a little confusing because there was this idea, at least, that she was working on her trauma and she was feeling more powerful. However, a closer look at her actual day-to-day revealed that there was a lot of escaping, avoiding into what she believed was harmless fun or partying, you know, on the weekends. And she was very high functioning. This was not out of control. However, she realized that because of this, she was going along with things in relationships and physically, sexually, that were a way of repeating the trauma. But she, it was under the guise of, this is fun though, and now I'm in control. And so that was, once we began to really dip into this, then the nightmares started to cease. So again, you want to look at this from a lot of different angles metaphorically, and of course, always with someone who is licensed, if you need that deep support.
Yes, I really like where you're going with this. I think that is important to talk about that. And I think in so many ways, I think it's important to name that our growth and our healing are sort of these continual processes. Like we uncover different layers of what we've experienced, what we've been holding on to, the messages that need to be heard. All of these things are pieces of information. And I like looking at it like that. Even now to this day, it used to be, whether it was an emotion or a dream, it was like I used to view these things, and I know a lot of HSPs do too, as almost like to be afraid that we're experiencing these feelings or these dreams. But in reality, like now I'm able to be in a place in life that's like, oh, wow, what's that about? Like, let me explore that with some compassion, self-compassion.
Yes. I think if approaching your dreams with compassion and curiosity will be very helpful in hearing what the dream is trying to tell you. And even though dreams can be terrifying, remember that they're not to be taken literally. Our unconscious speaks the language of symbols. And so that's why it's so important that we do our own exploration into meaning, because the symbols are different for all of us. You know, when we think of the word mother, which is an archetype also that, you know, has universal connotations and associations, we also have our personal mother and our experience of home. And that colors what we think of when we think of mother and home. So again, it's so important to do your own research and exploration into the meanings of the images of your dreams. And if you want to use a dictionary, dream dictionary, just to get some ideas, of course, do that. But don't take the meanings as this is what this means. Mm-hmm. The way that I find it helpful is when I'm working with my dreams or the dreams of a client, is just exploring different symbols, I mean, different meanings of the symbol until something really feels right. It's this intuitive, that's what that means for me.
Mm-hmm. And HSPs can be really good at this part, like being able to explore internally and be able to say, and even identify, it's like, wow, I'm having a strong reaction to that. You know, what is that about? Like being able to do that, that's a gift of this trait.
It is. And that's also why I feel so strongly about working with dreams with my clients, because, you know, most of my clients are also highly sensitive. It's just a natural way for HSPs to heal and to grow. And I think I want to touch back on that also, that, you know, dreams are organic. We can't choose them. We can't direct them. You know, they're going to show up. We dream on an average of 6 dreams a night, and that's 42 dreams a week, whether we remember them or not. And, you know, one of the things about nature, as we know, is nature is purposeful. You know, nature is not wasteful, and nature does what it does as part of a larger system. And our dreams are a part of our own system, our our psyche, our mental, psychological, emotional systems that are leading us to our own healing. And so when our dreams show up and speak, they are showing us a path towards our own healing, our own growth. And I think that's also why I am so passionate about them, is again, the dream is going to show you what is happening within you and the direction to go in. And the more you work with your dreams, the more seriously you take your dreams, then your dreams will also pay more attention to you. And your dream recall will improve, and you will get into this very natural flow with your dreams, and begin to get into a relationship with your dreams where it's just ongoing, and you'll see connections between your dreams. And that's why it's so important to write them down, because oftentimes dreams will not reveal the full message or meaning. Sometimes it's months or years later, or sometimes it's because you see the threads between dreams. And so, you know, that's also important as far as interpretation, is to write your dreams down. Write them down when you wake up. The longer we wait, the harder it is to hold the dream images. As much as you can, wake up naturally. And before you start moving, kind of lay there for a while and try to sit with the dream images before moving or getting out of bed. And this is just like working a muscle or, you know, going to the gym. The more you pay attention to your dreams and work with your dreams, the more your dreams will, your recall will improve. You will have a deeper understanding of your dreams. You'll get better at your dreams and understanding them. Mm-hmm. So when you first begin, it will be difficult. And sometimes I've heard people say, I just saw remember one image and that was it. And almost want to dismiss that because it wasn't some big, you know, epic dream, you know, they could remember fully. And I want you to know that those little snippets of dreams that seem so, I don't know, trivial or unimportant, they're not. You know, pay attention to those small fragments. Your psyche is telling you something, and you were able to hold on to this piece. So write it down and sit with that and meditate on it, reflect on it, because no dream, no matter how small, is unimportant. It has something for you.
I like that. I like that you're talking about it not being literal, and that there's a way for us to explore it. There's so much information in that dream. And I think a big part of growth work is listening to these messages that are coming to us, trying to understand what they mean for us, how they make us feel. All of that is such an important piece of our inner knowing, developing that inner knowing that is so important for us as HSPs, to pull away from such an external focus on everybody else and come into an internal focus of trying to understand how are we experiencing the world? In what areas might we need to heal or understand ourselves better?
And you know, Julie, I would like to share some of the types of dreams we have and some examples, if that's okay.
Love it. Yes, please do.
So we tend to have four different types of dreams. One of the types of dreams seem to include day residue. It might be something that happened that day or that week, an encounter you had with somebody, a conversation. And so sometimes we'll see the material of daily life showing up in our dreams. And one of the ways you can work with these dreams is to imagine that, you know, there's a part of you, this wise part of you, the heart of you, your intuition, that is offering commentary on this part of your life. And that's why it's bringing it back to your attention. So it's not just, oh yeah, I dreamed about the grocery store because, you know, I was there today and this is what happened. You know, the dreamer is bringing this back into your attention for a reason. And so asking yourself, you know, in this grocery store where I was shopping, maybe I was looking at fruits and vegetables, Is there something else that maybe I'm not aware of when it comes to, you know, where I am investing of myself and my resources? You know, how did I shop in this grocery store? And how is that a metaphor for how perhaps I am shopping for things in life? And what was my attention like in the store? What was I feeling? And that's the other part of this too, is when you work with dreams, it's not just about the images. It's also about, you know, your feeling state. You know, was I just putting things in my cart and not paying attention? You know, so really looking at that. So what is the dream maker possibly commenting about how I navigated, you know, putting groceries into my cart? You know, is it asking me to really look at what I'm choosing? Do I need to be more discerning? Do I even remember what I put in my cart? So again, going back into the dream and really looking at the dynamics and your energy and your attention and your feeling. You know, were you feeling excited about choosing, you know, the most beautiful strawberries, or were you just kind of picking and throwing them into your cart? So that's an example of how you can work with your daily material of your dreams, to not look at that as, oh, it's just the day, so of course I'm going to dream about it. No, what else could this experience be pointing to? What else can it be a metaphor for? How was I experiencing this? What is another way of looking at how I was having this experience? And maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's has to do with the work you're doing in the world. Another type of dream that we have are what Jung described as compensatory dreams or course corrections. And often these dreams point to aspects of ourselves that are off balance, or aspects of ourselves that are being ignored. And so I'll use a personal example of a dream that I had. And in this dream, I was in a hotel, and I remember there was this loud banging on the hotel door and just almost shaking it off the hinges. And I knew, I don't know how, I just knew this in the dream, that it was a woman trying to get in the room. And I was terrified, and I did not want her to get into the room at all. You know, so I was doing everything I could to keep her out of the room, you know, pushing furniture against the door. And I just, that was just the feel of this. And when I brought this dream to my Jungian analyst who I was working with at the time, you know, my initial thought was, you know, there is someone in my life or this woman represents an aspect of my life that I'm trying to keep out, something that's very terrifying, something that is, you know, I don't want it to get close to me. After working with her, I began to see the dream as this woman representing aspects of myself that I didn't want to look at. You know, these were parts of myself that I didn't believe I had or was ashamed of, but that was my way of trying to keep them out. And so in this dream, there was this compensation of, I mean, I was pushing furniture against the door. I was just everything I can to not let this woman come in. It was there was almost a terror of her also. And the truth of it was, I needed to let this part of myself, and I needed to really look at myself and the things I didn't want to see and the things that I thought were terrifying. And so that's an example of a dream being compensatory or course correcting.
Wow, that's powerful. That's like, it's powerful to bring that into your awareness.
It is. and also, it was also hard. You know, yes. It's also, when I first thought of the dream, I was thinking of people in my life who were scary and I didn't want them in my life anymore. Mm-hmm. Not realizing, no, these are parts of yourself that you're scared to look at.
Wow, these are such great examples for us to understand this on different levels. I like it.
And you're doing everything you can to not look at these parts of yourself, Lourdes. And that's hard to sit with, you know, you're just going, wow, you know? And so that's one of the reasons why I love working in dreams so much is this, you know, when you're able to connect with what the dream maker is telling you, it's pretty powerful in helping you to move to that next level of growth or development. The third type of dream that we all have are what are called archetypal dreams. And these are dreams that Jung described as dreams that we as human beings have been having for all time, since the beginning of time, regardless of where. And, you know, if you look at, you know, the Bible or other sacred texts, you hear about, you know, stories where dreams were listened to, and they made decisions based on their dreams. And perhaps it was the dream of a son or a child being born, or all of these different archetypal dreams, and archetypal meaning that regardless of time and space, we all know what it means when we think of a new life or a child. We think of newness, of spring, of a beginning, of hope. When we think of the mother, you know, we think of earth, we think of holding, we think of the home, we also think of the child. And so these archetypal experiences, Jung found that regardless of time and place, people all over the world can relate to these images and these symbols, and they're timeless. You know, if you look at the Egyptian hieroglyphs, you see, you know, the same awe and respect for and veneration of the sun that you see with the Aztecs or the Mayas, or, you know, you go to other parts of Asia that, you know, the ancient Japanese, you'll see also this, you know, way of looking at the sun. And that is what Jung meant when he talked about archetypes in the collective unconscious, that we collectively see certain symbols in similar ways. And one example of an archetypal symbol would be a church. And so I'm going to share a personal experience again with dreams to kind of share this, to get the feel of this. I dreamt that I was in a church holding a baby, and my parents were sitting on both sides of me, my mom and dad, one on either side, and the church was collapsing on us. And my parents seemed unaware. They were just praying on their knees and going along with the service. And I was holding this baby, trying to protect it with my body as the church collapsed around us. And so this is a dream that has archetypal layers. It also has personal residue layers, and it has course correcting layers. And what this dream was for me, at first I thought it was my parents unaware of how this belief system just wasn't working, okay, for me. And I was trying to protect myself and this child. And I thought when I first saw the dream that this was me, that I was protecting this child from my parents' unawareness of how this belief system was destroying me and my family. I didn't realize until more work in this dream that I was in the process of birthing something completely new. And I was needing to protect this new part of me from beliefs that were familial, cultural, religious, that were getting in my way of birthing this creative part of myself. And so again, that takes it from this archetypal personal and compensatory, where you think this is what it's about, and it's really about your own inner dynamics. And I think that's something, I'm not sure if I have emphasized this enough, but dreams really are speaking to what's happening within you. Mm-hmm. And so even though you may have a dream with your parents or your significant other or something at work, it's helpful to see those people in those situations as dynamics within you. You know, so in this dream that my family structures, I was in some way needing to protect something about that needed to be birthed from from these structures that were really collapsing all around me.
Wow, what a great example. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yes, I'm trying to just give a sense of how dreams can be interpreted. And again, if somebody else had this dream, they might see it completely differently. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you to determine and find that meaning for yourself. And one other thing I wanted to mention, I think someone had a question about hearing like a voice or a statement or a sentence when they're drifting off to sleep or in their dreams. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say that when this happens, this is really, really important. because it's not very common to hear dialogue or, you know, like a script in your dreams. Usually you see the images and things are happening, but typically it's almost as if you're just seeing a screen with no volume, you know? And so to actually hear words spoken is powerful. And so if you are hearing something said to you, really, really pay attention to that. About a year and a half ago, I had a dream which terrified me because it was just one phrase. That was it. And the phrase was, you have less than a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I, of course, that got my attention.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And of course, I went with the worst case, literal. Like, does this mean that I have less than a year to live? Someone I love has less than a year. And, you know, it was really terrifying for me. And I had to sit with this. And it wasn't till sometime later that I realized that as our psyche often does, it expresses a process in you that's already happening that you may not be consciously aware of. And it was that there was a part of my life, a significant part of my life, that was coming to an end.
Hmm.
You know,
wow.
And
that goosebumps.
Yeah. And this is one of those dreams where I didn't really fully understand it till much later. And again, I think this underlines this other aspect of dreams is often we see dreams as though this is the dream that's happening now. And so we think it means something going forward, but dreams often, I think always, most of the time, reflect a process that's already going. It's already happening. And you're just becoming aware of it now.
That's really beautiful. You're doing such an amazing, you're really providing such great examples to understand all of this on a deeper level. I think that it's really helpful to hear all of this.
I'm glad it's helpful because I just want to also give a lot of examples where you can see different ways of working with the dream and also how the dream can often not really be telling you what you think you want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, and, or what you think is so obvious, it has to mean this. And, you know, like I go back again to, you know, a quote by Jung where, you know, dreams don't tell us something we already know. They usually tell us things that are uncomfortable truths. Aspects of if we faced would mean disappointing other people, being alone, being rejected, having to let go of things. Because again, our dreams are pushing us to be who we are. They are, they're part of our journey towards individuation, which is just a big word for becoming who we are supposed to be.
Yeah.
And Jung described this as, you know, the greatest privilege of a lifetime. I think, yeah, that's one of my favorite quotes. I have it on my website that, you know, the privilege of a lifetime is to be who we are meant to be. And dreams course correct and guide and show us when we're not doing this. And I just have one more example, and I have permission of my client to share this dream. And this is an example of how dreams can catalyze therapy as well. This is a client I'd been working with for some time, and we had been working on family issues, her family of origin. And she brought a dream one day to session where she was in a vehicle, and the vehicle was moving along like a coastline, and the vehicle was black, and she wasn't driving, and she didn't know where the vehicle was going. and we worked with the dream a little bit in session. She hadn't really been bringing them in, you know, regularly. So I think we spent a few minutes on it and we wrapped up. And before we met again, she sent me an email saying she was sending this email because she wanted to hold herself accountable. And she was afraid if she didn't do this, she wouldn't tell me. And she revealed that she had been struggling with an opioid addiction for at least a year. Her family did not know about it. Her husband didn't know. And she hadn't told me about it. And she knew that that was what this black vehicle symbolized for her.
Wow, that's a powerful story.
It shifted the whole course of therapy because we needed that information.
It was like the entry point. It's like the entry point into for her.
And she also, until that dream, believed that she was just coping fine. Because she was very high functioning. Nobody even knew. She was holding down a job, mom, you know, a marriage. And this dream revealed to her, no, you're not driving, you know, you think you are. And so this shifted the whole course, you know, therapy. The next session was about how do we let your husband know? How do we get the help you need? And this just transformed the whole process. Again, we didn't work on that exactly in session, just kind of processed, you know, what could a vehicle mean? What do you think the color black symbolize? But for her, she said she knew immediately when we were working with the dream, what it was. Wow. And that she had to act now because this vehicle was along a cliff, you know, and the ocean was below. She wasn't driving and she didn't know who was driving.
Really powerful. Oh my goodness. I love that you're sharing these four different types of dreams. Can you go through the names of those again, those four different types?
Yeah. So the first one is what we would call like a daily residue, like the material of life type of dream, a day residue type of dream. And with these dreams, our psyche is just adding some additional commentary on what is being activated on the metaphors or that of that dream. And then we have compensatory, it's hard for me to remember what that means. So I like the term course corrections. And these dreams point to what is forgotten, left behind, blind spots, what we don't want to look at. And all of those words that I just shared fall under the umbrella of our shadow. So course correction dreams show us our shadow, and we tend to become uncomfortable with these dreams. And often we see these dreams not in what they're actually showing us. Because again, we don't want to see them. Mm-hmm. Just like the dream of the woman banging on the hotel room door, who I wanted to say was my mother, who wouldn't leave me alone. That was too easy. Okay. And then we have our archetypal dreams. And these are the big dreams. They're almost like epic movie type dreams. You know, these are the, you know, where we have you know, I had a dream once where I was flying or floating above the ocean and there was an orca swimming in a circle, a spiraling circle, and I was above this whale in the ocean. So that was very archetypal. Here you have this orca, you have the ocean, I'm flying, you know, a lot of big themes like that. And we all have those dreams from time to time as well. And the fourth type of dream, and this happens rarely, but it does happen, are prophetic dreams. And these are dreams where we get a sense of something to come, or we do dream about what does happen later. And these are the rarest types of dreams, but they do happen. And we hear about them. You know, we hear about in sacred texts of dreams of an event that would happen. I believe Einstein or Newton? Someone dreamt of one of their theories before it actually became a reality. So things like that, you know, I can't remember. I think it was Einstein. That would make sense because he was very intuitive.
And you answered Sinead's questions about that too, about can we have predictive dreams?
Yes.
Mm. Love it. And Cecilia had a question too. about, in your experience, do HSPs have more vivid dreams than non-HSPs or dream more? I'm thinking we take in so much and process more deeply. What do you think about that?
I have found that once they begin to pay attention to their dreams, they do dream regularly or even a lot, say, in the sense that there's a lot of dream material. But again, like I said, once they begin to pay attention to their dreams, because I also have HSPs who do not. And so they also will say, I don't dream, or I can't remember my dreams. And so again, it begins with you consciously entering into a relationship with parts of yourself that are out of your conscious awareness. And the more you pay attention to these parts, the more they'll pay attention to you.
Yeah. And I think some medications can impact it as well.
Absolutely. That can happen. I know clients who have been on certain medications have stated that it's very hard for them to remember their dreams, or should they still work with their dreams the same way since they are on these medications? And my suggestion for this is still do everything you can to remember your dreams and still work with whatever dream material you're able to remember. And there's still value in that, because if you're, whatever you're able to remember or grasp from these dreams, from your sleep, that's still part of you that was able to come through all that medication.
Yeah.
That you're on.
Wow. This has been so amazing, Lourdes. Oh, we could talk about this for hours probably. Is there anything else that you want to be sure to mention before we say goodbye today?
Let me think really quickly. I think I just want to go back again to that dreams are organic, they are natural, and nature does not lack purpose, and nature is efficient, okay? And if we look at nature and all around us with its purpose and its beauty and its rhythms, I think this can help us to really take our dreams seriously and see their value, because our dreams are organic. It's a part of you. It happens just like breathing or your heartbeat. And so it behooves us to pay attention to something that is happening to us at least 42 times a week. We spend a third of our life asleep. And so that has purpose. There's a reason for that. And so pay attention to your dreams. I feel that one of the things we struggle the most as HSPs is kind of being pulled in so many different directions and feeling overwhelmed and trying to be too many things to too many people. And dreams are really helpful in getting us back to who we are, grounding us, and helping us to know, to let go of the noise and the distraction, because our psyche is going to show us exactly what needs our attention.
Oh, that's really powerful. I love that. It is about really getting us into that place of understanding who we are, what we're experiencing, being able to get into that inner place of knowing. That's such a powerful thing. Oh, I love this. Lourdes, how can people find you?
You can find me on my website, which, by the way, is under construction. So the one you see now probably won't be the one next week or the week after. And that's www.lourdesviado.com. And that's the best way to find me. And you can also find the podcast there or on iTunes.
Wonderful. Yeah, definitely recommend checking out your podcast as well. It's so good. So, so good. And as you were saying, we did, what, two or three of them together, I think, on your podcast that are worth listening to about the trait of high sensitivity. And wow, thank you for being with us today, Lourdes. I really enjoyed talking about this. I feel like this is such an important thing for us to understand. I love how you shared it and the stories that you shared. It made us understand it on such a deeper level. And I just love what you do in the world. I think you are such an important human.
Oh, thank you, Julie. I'm honored to be here. And, you know, I hope that this was helpful to your community. And I'm happy to also share some of my favorite books. I can send this to you later for Beginning to Work with Dreams. And if you're, if anyone's interested, on my website, I have a free PDF on just, you know, beginning to work with your dreams.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, we can put all of that into the show notes. You can send it to me and we'll put it into the show notes so everyone can have it. I see the community is already saying thank yous. And Ashley's sharing, this is one of her absolute favorites that she can listen to all day.
I'm so glad. Thank you.
I knew my community was going to love you. And thank you, Sensitive Empowerment Community, for your presence and your questions and just being here with us. You always enrich this so much, the experience, and I really value it so much. Thank you, everybody, for being with us today. Lourdes, you are so special, and I appreciate everything that you taught us today. It's really meaningful work that you're doing, and I encourage everybody to go and check out your website to learn more about you and everything that you're doing, all the important stuff that you're doing. Thank you, everybody. And for anyone that wants to learn how to join my Sensitive Empowerment Community to be a part of these wonderful live events that we do every week, you can visit my website at juliebielen.com or sensitiveconnection.com. And we hope that you share these episodes to help other HSPs. I think this is going to be a very special one to share. So thank you, everyone. Thanks, Lourdes, again.
All right. Thank you, Julie.
So fun having time with you. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Maybe you've learned a little bit more about yourself. And especially, I want you to know how valuable you are in the world and that sensitivity has many gifts. And part of what we need to do is learn how to balance a sensitive nervous system and to reframe how we think about sensitivity and create a paradigm shift where sensitivity is valued and honored. And that is a part of my mission. I hope you'll enjoy all the resources that I offer HSPs. We have a sensitivity quiz, a letter to give your doctor and medical professionals, mental health professionals. We have a calming guide that can calm your brain. And you can connect to my books and courses and all the podcast episodes and the HSP blog. So many things for you on my website, juliebielland.com or sensitiveconnection.com. Hope to spend time with you in my Sensitive Empowerment Community. Take good care of yourself.